both of them left. Then one says, I got to get in the wall. Got to get in the wall. And then they say, oh, he's right-handed. Right? They say he's right-handed. And another fellow, he comes up every now and then, has a left-handed one. He says, I got to get in the world. And they say, he's left-handed. He ain't left-handed, he ain't left, man. That's involved. He ain't left out, he's involved. But man's language is another thing, right? For the sake of language, we have to use that terminology. We have to use terminology like that. At one point in our life, then, we have to do what? Sacrifice. Oh, what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is giving something up that you can use, that you really enjoy, that you like. If you don't like it, you don't can't use it, that ain't no sacrifice. Right? Now, what does that baby have to sacrifice? It has to sacrifice the waterbed. Right? It has to sacrifice the waterbed. What is the waterbed? A life of ease. Allah says, He has created the human being into toil and struggle. Right? Oh, yes. And He says also, He has created this human being weak. Weak. The baby, isn't the baby weak? The infant that comes in weak. No muscles. It has to get those muscles and strength in a war, a battle. Right? With what? Challenge. He's on his bed of ease, and he see us going around here, walking around. Say, this is nice, but it's boring as hell. I wonder how I can do what they're doing. And it starts crying because it can't do what the others are doing. And God has fixed desperation. Or God has fixed that frustration in its life so that it expresses itself in motion, in physical activity. So the baby becomes frustrated because it can't do get up and take care of its own needs. It can't get what it wants right now. It can't have your freedom. The baby gets frustrated and starts crying. And the feet going at the same time. Feet doing the same thing. So it does that over and over again. And after a while, it won't stop it. And it takes its little arm. What is this? What is this? I can push up. I got strength. God gave it to him when he was saying, they created you into toil and struggle. Right? Oh, yes. But Adam was first made in heaven. In the garden. And God said, okay, you got to get out of garden. All of you got to get out. Go on out together. The water bed has broken. Praise be to Allah. All right. So, new situations require sacrifice. Now, when you get out of infancy, you must sacrifice that bed of ease called a crib. That's something that we is nice. It's enjoyable. Isn't that something we want? We want that ease. That's security. Somebody giving us everything. We don't have to make hardly no effort at all. We like that. But you're going to have to sacrifice what you like in order to get in a better situation.
Isn't that wonderful?
Appetite.
Motivation.
Faith. Because God took care of me once. I came here. I was at peace once. So if this situation is bad, hell, I can get it again. Right? Okay. Hey, but what's missing in us? Who can't get together? Who can't unite? Who can't support a leader? What's missing in us? Trust. Trust. The white man have made us so distrustful of each other. We just can't get started. But don't trust me. Trust the light. Trust Allah. Trust His guidance. Trust Muhammad. You do that, baby. That's enough. That's enough. You don't have to trust me. If you do that, you're going to follow me. If you trust Allah, if you trust Muhammad, if you believe in the Quran, if you believe in Prophet Muhammad's example, I don't have to worry about you following me. I can go to sleep. Praise be to Allah. So what we have to show the people is what God has given you already. That has proven itself. Yes. Isn't that proof? That's proof that you came here and you came here whole, a whole human being. And you had faith and you had trust and you managed your life very well for that period. Is that not right? So that's proof. Now once we show the science, once we get in, as that architect said in Chicago, famous guy, Lord Wright, what's his full name? I can't think. Frank Lloyd Wright, that's his name. Yeah, thank you. He said what he had discovered in life, he said, what I've discovered as something dear and precious, he said, is this. It's not looking at the world, it's looking into it. So once we can look into what has happened and understand what has happened to make it possible for us to come out of mama's world of the abdomen and be so agreeable and come up to stand on our own feet. What stood me on my feet for the first time? Was it my plot? Was it my devious worldly mind? No! What set me on my feet first? It was obedience to the nature that God created in me. That was innocent of these things. Oh, yeah. So once we look into that and see how naturally and how divinely God has brought us out of dead matter into a womb that was like paradise, and then put us into the field of work and stood us upon our feet. Oh, man. That's what make the world go round. That's what make buildings go up. That's what make armies come with weapons and say, get the hell out of the way. This life is too precious for us to turn over to you, bastard. Get out, invaders. Oh, yeah. All right. This is good. It's time to eat the right food. So we come now to sacrifice. Motivation and sacrifice. Now we're talking about sacrifice. The need to sacrifice. There come a time when the situation requires sacrifice. And that's going to grow you up. I recall reading the Quran, where it's given in brief, very brief verses, the attitude of the prophet. And it gives us a quick report on this prophet. And it
concludes with these words.
He says, I ask nothing of you for myself. I expect my pay from God.
That's wonderful.
That's sacrifice. Now, you know, when the motivation is selfish, when the motivation is for self, we can never establish the community. But when the motivation is to please Allah, then we can establish the community. Prophet behind prophet is given to us in Scripture,
introduced to us.
And this prophet by the name of such and such, and he came to his people, and he found his people doing these terrible things, and he told them, oh, my people, this is not your life. This is not what God intended for you. Come out of this. And he says, I don't come asking you to give me anything for myself. My only pay will come from God. I don't expect for you to pay me. God will pay me for what I'm doing. Isn't that wonderful? That's the key. That's telling the man who wants to succeed and doing something good to change the bad situation for himself and his people. It's telling him, you will be successful if your motive is not selfish. You will be successful if your motive is pure. Then you will be successful. Praise be to Allah. Prophet Muhammad, he told him the same thing. He said, I don't expect pay from you. I await my paycheck before God, in the presence of God. Isn't that wonderful? Here is another wonderful thing that's in the Quran. See, when we don't have proper guidance, we go after things that's not for us. And worship is not for us. Worship is for Allah. We weren't created to be worshipped. We were created to worship Allah. You see? But if we don't know it, if we don't have the right guidance, then we will think worship is for us. We don't know where to place this. So we place it wrongly on ourselves. And we'll be living to have people worship us. Right? Admire us. Praise us. And that destroys us. Oh, yes. So, dear beloved people, when we know God's way, we're safe. And we can make real progress, lasting progress. Sacrifice. I have to sacrifice, then, this wrong spirit in me that says, when am I going to be praised? I have to sacrifice that. When are they going to recognize me? I have to make many sacrifices. I have to sacrifice this spirit in me that says, I have to be paid for what I'm doing. They have to pay me for what I'm doing. Where's the money? I'm their commander-in-chief. They have to obey me. I demand obedience. When are they going to do everything I say? We have to sacrifice that. Isn't that an appetite? Yeah, it's an appetite. If I want praise, that's an appetite. If I want people to knuckle down or to bow down to me, that's an appetite. If I want people to give me their possessions, that's an appetite. I have to sacrifice my appetite, right? Okay, what is it in us that's symbolic of appetite more than anything else? We know we eat with our mouths. But what takes that food? The mouth doesn't keep it. We eat with our mouths, the mouth passes that food down through the trough, right?
the gully, whatever they call it. Yeah, they know what I'm talking about.
So the mouth passes it down through that, you see? And it falls down in the stomach. You say, well, the stomach wanted it. That's where it was to go. It was the stomach asking for that. And the stomach down there with acids working on it, right? Stomach making bread. That's all the stomach doing, stomach making bread. Got acids and everything. So that lumpy stuff that came down and broken up stuff that's coming down, the acid hit, and pretty soon it makes it into a dough. It makes bread out of it, right? Makes dough out of it, not bread. It makes dough out of it. The bread is made later. That's the meat, right? The finished product. It's making dough out of it in the stomach, you see, with the acids and everything. Just making dough. And then it sends the dough, it sends the raw dough mixture, the batter for the mixture, it sends it where? To different parts of the body for other chemical work, and it goes where? Into the bloodstream. The blood wants it. The blood wants it. And they say the blood is the life of the body. Isn't that what they say? Isn't that what scripture says? So the blood wanted it. What the blood wanted for? The blood wanted to transfer it into building cells, building blocks for the body, right? And the blood takes it and it gives it to all parts of the body, right? Blood takes it and carries that nutrients or whatever it is, carries it to all parts of the body to build up the body. So actually, the body wanted it, the body gets it, but what wanted it? The blood. The blood wanted it. The blood wanted it for building blocks. And the building blocks is for what? To protect the blood. To contain the blood. Right? The building block, the structure all about, is what protects the blood. The blood can't live outside of this house. So the blood say, I'm hungry. Give me some more food. Hell, you're going to expose me. Hurry up! I need security. I need protection. Right? That's the blood, right? We're talking about sacrifice, right? All right. So what do we sacrifice? We sacrifice the blood. Yeah. We sacrifice the blood. Abraham, peace be on him, he was about to sacrifice his son. And I lost him. Hold up. That's enough, Abraham. You have proven your faith. Your intent to please me by sacrificing your most cherished, your most prided son is enough to prove your faith. Now hold up, let me show you exactly what you're supposed to do for me. He said, now go get that lamb. Go get that lamb and put it on the altar. Let the son up. Let the son up. Hey, get it off the altar. Now you put that lamb on the altar and you cut its throat and pour out its blood. Sacrifice its blood. Right? That's the best sacrifice, isn't it? The sacrifice of Abraham is the best sacrifice. We know we sacrifice cow, we sacrifice camel, we sacrifice goat. But the best sacrifice for society is the sacrifice of the sheep. Right? And what God wants to pour out the blood. Pour out the blood. Make that sacrifice. What is the blood? Appetite. Appetite. You have to sacrifice your appetite. Now, if you bring a dog for sacrifice, it's not accepted. You got a dog appetite, we don't want you. Go back, God. You don't bring no snakes and tigers and things. But if you got a cow, if you got a camel, if you got a sheep, if you got a goat, or even something, if you're so doggone poor you ain't got nothing but a pigeon, okay, come on, bring the sacrifice. Okay. And What's going to be taken out? What are you going to sacrifice? The blood of that thing. The appetite of that thing.
So that tells us that Allah doesn't want the appetite
of the camel to be our motivation. Just listen. We're not going to tell you everything. I can't do it anyway. Only Allah knows everything. But just listen. Allah doesn't want in us the appetite of the camel, the appetite of the goat, the appetite of the sheep, the appetite of the, what's that other one I named? No, the cow. Yeah, we did mention the pigeon. Not even the appetite of the pigeon. He doesn't want that in us. He doesn't want that to be our motivation. What appetite he want in us? He wants us to be born again. He wants us with a new appetite. The first appetite we're given is the appetite for survival. Right? That's by nature. Self-preservation, they say, is the first law of nature. So the appetite to survive is given to us first. That's nature. By nature. Then God gives us a double portion. He gives us something by grace. Right? Double portion of his mercy. He gives us a double portion of his mercy. Now he gives us a new appetite. It is not the appetite that we had before. So he says, Muzu fa'ahya, die that you may live. And we get this second appetite. The second appetite is not for my own safety, not for my own security. It's not for myself, for my own life. Hell, I'm willing to lose this life. The right challenge come, and I paid a price to stay with God with my life. I give my own life to stay with God. Say, man, why did you go in that battle? You knew you were going to be killed. I was going to heaven. It was time to go. They didn't leave me no other alternative. All right? Wonderful. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we sacrifice the blood. God wants us to sacrifice the blood. Sacrifice that appetite to keep your own body secure. Oh, yes. Sometimes that appetite goes out to the body of people, right? Our appetite is to secure our people. Look how many men and how many women have been motivated by the appetite to secure this black people. And look how many of them have been frustrated and have gone the way of the foolish and the blind. But the appetite was to save the black man. The appetite was to deliver the black man. The appetite was to save black people. You have to get rid of that blood and have the appetite to please Allah. Have the appetite to please Allah. Allah's pleasure should be our first and our last objective. When that becomes our first and our last objective, then we can do for self, we can do for our people, we can do for strangers, we can do for the world. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes it is. Okay, so let us go on here. We're doing all right, too. I think the time is not too far spent. We're managing it pretty well. Now, dear beloved people, let us see here. We said one aspect was the need seen, that is seen in faith and spiritual motivation. Now we see the other need, we're talking about the other need. The other aspect is seen in the material-based obligation. Material-based obligation. This is very important. The wording, the language is very important. Material-based obligation. I'm a human being. I'm by description a human being. The essence of my being is spiritual life. All that's true. But this life is placed into the world. And in the world, it has to establish itself. In trying to establish itself in the world, it's going to meet opposition. And I'm not talking about from another person. The challenge of just getting up in the morning and doing what you have to do to keep your peace, to keep your security, to keep the little comfort you've got. That's a challenge in itself. All right? So the world challenges us. The world challenges us. And if we are to establish ourselves in the world, then we are going to have a force. We are going to have a power bigger than the world. That's science. That's science. You ain't going to overcome a bigger force with a lesser force. Oh, yes, Brother Imam. Hold up, Brother Imam. I'm going to bring the Quran against you now. Allah said, how many times have a smaller force overcome a greater one? With a greater one. With Allahu Akbar. All right. So what is God saying to us? Faith. Faith and spiritual life. Then he says, come out of the water. Go to the land. Noah. He was told that a flood was coming. God revealed it to him, so he started building the boat to survive the flood. Was Noah preparing to stay on water? He was preparing for a situation. So he built a boat. God blessed him, told him how to build it so it would survive the water. And he was just waiting. He was watching. Noah was in his boat at the watchtower of his boat. Had the water receded enough yet? No, not today, Noah. Well, he will retire again. We will say our Isha prayer and retire. Said your prayer. Have the water receded yet? Oh, no. We see land. We spotted land. Looked like the water has receded a bit. Well, let's test it. Send out the ravens. Say, hey, he's due back by now. So, where did the raven go? He went to the internal raven news. Oh, well, let's send out a dove. Hey, don't send out another raven. Send out a dove. Sent out the dove. The dove came back with some food. It didn't eat it all up. Came back with a little piece of wheat. Oh, time to go to land. It's ready now. Let's go to land. Right? He was waiting for the situation to be made right for him to get back on land. That going out on the boat was temporary. Now, look at the other prophet, Jonah. He was on a boat too. And he was out there, that got so comfortable out there, he forgot how to use the dove. He just at ease. He's satisfied out there in the boat, out at sea. Plenty of food. Plenty of, that's all I can't think of. Cargo. Plenty of cargo. Riches in the boat. Some men sitting up gambling. He's down in the hull of the boat. He's in the belly of the boat. Sleep. Right? Yeah. He's just sleeping down there where all the cargo was. God said, all hell. Excuse the language. People are telling me that I ought to clean up my tongue, you know. But as long as I find it works, I'm going to use it. And it's still working good. So he says, oh, I'm going to give him some wind that he has never seen before. So he sends a pearl of wind out there. People up there on the deck, they say, why, hell, something wrong. Something seriously wrong. There ain't no wind hit us like this in this water ever before. This is unusual.
Then it must be a
problem like none we've had before. They say, well, we do have something over here we never had before.
So what is that? It's a dude down there in the cargo fleet. Hey, go get that dude out of there. Get him, bring him up here on the deck. They brought him up on the deck. They say, sorry, buddy, you got to go. Threw him out into the raging sea.
And he got out there in that raging sea, and that water was just throwing him about. He didn't, all of his skill wouldn't work out there. And I think he was one of those Baptists that they baptized all the way down. They put him down all the way down.
Total submersion.
But he couldn't manage that water. It was too rough.
So he said, oh, Lord. Please, don't do this.
And along came the big fish, and the big fish swallowed him.
Big fish swallowed him up.
And he said, they ain't too comfortable here. Say that in the ship I was in a belly that was plentiful, that was not hungry. I was in a belly that had plenty. Now I'm in the belly of this fish and it's empty. I don't get out of here, I'm gonna be in a bad way. There ain't nothing in here for me. And he remembered his Lord, he remembered his mission. And he said, God, just give me another chance. God, just give me another chance. So I won't be desiring this waterbed of ease anymore. Just give me another chance. And God said, okay, you've done what is required to earn my mercy, forgiveness.
Say, okay, Hoot. That's the name of the fish, Hoot.
Say, okay, Hoot. Hoot him on to show. So the big fish called Hoot. He hooted him on to show and spit him out. Didn't like him anyway. So, yeah, I didn't like you anyway. You wasn't my kind of food anyway. Spit him out on shore.
All right? So what is all this saying? That there come a time God created you at ease and gave you comfort and birthed you in a world with no care. You didn't have to do nothing for yourself. But there come a time when God said, get up and get about doing some work and don't be selfish. All right? Jonah got out there. He got out there on the land, but his situation still wasn't good. Scripture says that he was out there on the seashore. He was out there on the sand, looking from the sandy seashore at the industrious town, the industrious city of Nineveh, I think it is. Isn't that right?
Right.
Yeah, I thought I was right. Okay.
Have to check with the boys every now and then. Because they might know something that I've forgotten or something I've never known. Who knows?
Okay. So, he was delivered, but he still had that selfishness. Now, the selfishness wasn't manifesting itself in the behavior that we saw in him just laying around a lot of wealth, just resting around a lot of wealth. It didn't manifest itself in that way. It manifested itself in a different way. He looked at Nineveh, and really he couldn't see himself, that really you jealous of Nineveh. So he said, God, why have you sent me to preach destruction to Nineveh? And you are letting Nineveh go on and just continue to prosper. How come you don't destroy Nineveh? That was selfish. That was selfish. Nineveh was showing signs that it would improve, that it would do better. And God had said to the prophet, if you can find 10, if you can find just a small number, I won't destroy the city. Is that not right? Okay, so Nineveh was showing signs of improvement, that there were people there that wanted to be right. Jonah was on the sand. It was Jonah's fault that he stayed out there on the sand.
All right, I hope you understand what I'm saying.
If Nineveh is growing, did Nineveh come out here and say, hey, when did you arrive, stranger?
What you doing on our shore? What are you doing here? Did you pass through customs?
Nineveh didn't say. Nineveh didn't bother him. He was in Nineveh's land. He was on Nineveh's land. He was on Nineveh's land. And Nineveh wasn't bothering him.
I can work with
Nineveh destroyed. The sign that Nineveh didn't tell him to get back on the boat or go back at sea was a good sign. That Nineveh had changed since God gave him his mission. Now your mission shouldn't be to preach destruction, Jonah. I shouldn't have to tell you that. Why did I tell you to preach destruction in the first place? It's because they wouldn't accept you in Nineveh. They made you go out at sea. But now you have been delivered on land in the territory of Nineveh. And they are not driving you off the land. Now why are you telling me to destroy Nineveh? Your mission is to preach guidance, mercy, guidance to Nineveh. It was only to preach destruction when they wouldn't accept you. Now they are accepting you. Now your mission is to preach guidance and mercy from God to Nineveh. But Jonah couldn't see that because he was still selfish. I'm talking from Bible text. All right? Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, we said material basis. We have to understand our material-based obligation. Where was Jonah? God wants him to go to his material-based obligation. But instead of going there, he stops on the sand of the seashore. Do we get crops from the sand of the seashore? What do you get from the sand of the seashore? Huh? You get a lazy man's ration. Right? When the waves and the tide come in, it may throw you out a mineral on the sand. Right? You get a lazy man's ration. Now, look at the 12 disciples of Jesus. Where did he bring them from? Fishing. They were out at the seashore fishing. They were better than Jonah. Jonah was out there at the seashore just standing up. Just standing up on the sand. Waiting on something to blow, waiting on the water to blow something up or to wash something up on the sand that he could pick up and eat. He was in a bad way, wasn't he? I don't want to be in that situation. Oh, no. Nineveh was building industry. Nineveh was building a mighty, mighty industry, mighty kingdom. And God wanted Jonah to go land where there's hope for work, future, growth, prosperity, that benefits not one kind of people, but all the people. Isn't that wonderful? This is how we see the intent of God. This is how we see God's will. This is how we see his face. Praise be to Allah. All right. So, in Al-Islam, we have first faith, and then comes work. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who believe, and their belief manifests, are carried over into good works that profit the whole society. Right? This is Al-Islam. All right. How are you going to get that good work? Not out at sea, not in the water. You have to come to land. You have to come to the material base. And upon the material base, what do you get? You get the home of man, don't you? The Kaaba is not out in the water. The Kaaba is on land. And you may say, oh, it's on land, but it's in the sand. No, sand is all around it. The Kaaba has Zamzam. That's an oasis in the sand, right? It's a fertile place in the sand. Sand all around. But there where that house is, there is Zamzam. The well of Zamzam. So there, and plus there are sites, there are hills that are fertile in that area. So it's not really a place out that is in a desert situation, but all around it is desert.
Now, isn't that wonderful?
What does that say to us as a symbol? That God provided for Abraham. God provided for the man that would take into his heart the concerns of all the people. How do we know that without giving you a whole lot of verses and proof for that? God say, and now I make you what? Father for all the people. Is that right? Ibrahim, father of the many. Father of the many. Adam was called father. Ibrahim called father of the many. Right? Why? Because he had taken into his heart the concerns of all the people. And God gave him what? Security. God gave him a place for his house and gave him through his son Ishmael, Hagar and Ishmael, the well of Zamzam, right? The well of Zamzam. Water there, plenty of water there, in the sand and water. They grow stuff there. They have food from the land there. They have animals there. They can have that if they want it. And many of the peasants, they have this. Okay, they can survive. They have that. But all around them is what? Desert, right? All around them, desert. Isn't that the world? Isn't that the world? Once you get the guidance of God and know what life God wants, isn't all around you nothing but desert? See, so that's a good symbol. It's a symbol out in an ocean of sand. But where a symbol is, there is the best water, Zamzam. Zamzam. All right. And we go there for our revival. We go there for our meeting with the self and with the world, the life that God wants us to have, right? Called Hod. Symbolically speaking. And we come from there back into the world, right? To establish the same life in the world that God designed and showed to Abraham. As the Christians say, Father Abraham. Right? Okay. Material-based life.
Without a material base, we cannot come into our life. Without a material base, we stay on the waterbed of ease. But with a material base, we can come into our life. The communist people, they base everything on materialism, right? Now, they're not all wrong. They're part wrong. Where they're wrong is that they leave out God, who's responsible for the material resources. That's where they're wrong. And again, they're wrong in saying man is a servant of material dynamics. And that his life has already been determined by material dynamics. They're wrong there because man, though he is a product of the earth, he's born to be custodian. Trustkeeper for the earth and for everything around him. He has, though he is himself, as a thing of value, his importance is less than the importance of the material world. Understand what I'm saying? Listen. As a thing of value, his importance is less than the value of the material universe. But if he obeys Allah, if he lives to please Allah, then his role becomes bigger than the role of the material things. Material things are serving Allah on the level of natural law. The custodian of God, the Khalifa, the human excellence, serves Allah on the level of what? Faith. Be real, free will, faith, reason.
That's a higher plane.
He comes because he wants to. Can a rock say, I don't like what I'm doing? It's because of what he learned from God. It puts him on a higher plane. The world is bigger than he is, but now because he's serving God, he's serving a cause bigger than the world. So now his service in the world puts them in a position to utilize the forces, the power of thing that is really bigger than him if he didn't have that connection. Isn't that wonderful? Allah says, man, think not that your creation is a bigger creation in this material world. But then he says, your purpose is bigger. He says that he has made So whatever you see in the sky, whatever you see in the earth, whatever is around you in your environment, say he has made that, he has reduced that, he has brought that down into human service. So now, see the attitude we're supposed to have? Not the attitude of the communist people, that we are really a helpless victim of circumstances, a helpless victim of material circumstances, a helpless victim of the law of materialism. No, that's the wrong. We recognize certainly this material universe is bigger than us. And without God, it will eventually do us in. But with God, my role becomes more important than the material reality. With God, pardon me, my role becomes more, I think that's what I said, but if I didn't, with God, my role becomes more important than material reality. And then man is to do what? Dress the garden. Right? Dress the garden. So he put the man in the garden and told him to dress, charged him to dress the garden. Is that not right? So that means the garden was naked, right? If he had to dress it, the garden was naked. Oh, I can't understand. Allah says, and the garden that he had promised to you, the garden he asked for the believer, say, its expanse is as the sky and the earth. Guess what he said? All right.